Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love all of you guys in Jesus' name. God bless you guys, and thank you so much for following along this exciting story with me. I've already received some wonderful, incredible emails that I wish I could share with all of you about how this story is already impacting and changing and affecting people for Christ and their faith. And helping those of you who've been through things that you just cannot reconcile circumstantially in your life with the idea that God is good or that he's faithful. And there's a lot of you I see that are sending me incredible emails about the hope that you're getting from this story and the excitement, and about how you have perhaps doubted that this was of God, and now you're beginning to see this really is. Let me just tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. We're getting ready to get into the very best parts of all of this. So you already know now, we're coming in now, episodes 7 and 8. And you hear that God is clearly calling me out of this. And then following episode 8 and 9 is where God begins to give me this guidance, the idea of him calling us out of something and then directly into something. Not always, but in my instance, it's been very direct. And you're going to get to hear exactly how God is doing this. Brothers and sisters, be like a, I hate to use the word fly on the wall, but that's just kind of the cliche that we say. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that conversation. So I really hope that you guys will really just be a spiritual fly on the wall in this and watch what God is about to do. I want to read something to you from May 30th of The Streams in the Desert that's just so fitting for what you're going to hear, what you've already heard, but what you're going to hear again, just to help us to see the importance of recognizing that we're listening to the living, sovereign God arrange every detail in this story. It's amazing for us to be able to see this, and what a privilege for us to be able to watch the living God, the great I Am, work on behalf of those who wait for him. And so listen to this, May 30th, Streams in the Desert, the morning edition. I have finished the race, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have finished my course, King James Version. There is a course prepared for each believer from the moment of his new birth, providing for the fullest maturity of the new life within him and the highest which God can make of his life and the use of every faculty for his service. To discover that course and to fulfill it is the one duty of every soul. Others cannot judge what that course is. God alone knows it. And God can just as certainly make known and guide the believer into that course today as he did with Jeremiah and other prophets, Paul and Timothy and other apostles. And here's a little poem. Why do I drift on a storm-tossed sea with neither compass nor star nor chart? When, as I drift, God's own plan for me waits at the door of my slow, trusting heart. Down from the heavens it drops like a scroll. Each day a bit will the master unroll. Each day a mite of the veil will he lift. Why do I falter? Why wander and drift? Drifting while God's at the helm to steer. Groping when God lays the course so clear, swerving though straight into port I might sail, wrecking when heaven lies just within hail. Help me, O God, in the plan to believe. Help me, my fragment, each day to receive a fragment of guidance, a fragment of providence. Oh, that my will may with thine have no strife. And I love this line, God yielded wills find the God-planned life. James H. McConkey. Allow God to carry out his plans for you without anxiety or interference. I want to say this last line because to me, it's not so important for you to hear what happened as to know why what happened. And God is inviting you to have a life like this. Some of you already do, and some of you desire it. Some of you have bought into the lie that it's only for other people, and it's not. It's for everyone. You know, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the testimony of thousands of people that have known this for 2,000 years. God yielded wills find the God-planned life. Now, religious people that have religion and have a relationship with Christianity, but don't have a relationship with the Christ of Christianity, they don't like these ideas. They don't like it that God's giving me guidance. And so they want to come, and they don't like it that God will give you guidance. And there will be people who will become jealous of you, envious of you, and they see that you have a living, vibrant, breathing relationship with God. And God allows just enough, you know, difficult circumstances, scandal, whatever in it to cause a lot of people to doubt. Think of Paul in jail or me being married three times. And when you look at that with religious eyes, the spiritual-minded man looks at it with discernment. But the Bible says the man without the Spirit looks at these things and says, oh, that's foolishness. It really does. So the God-planned life where you see providence after providence all looks completely foolish to those who have religion of the head rather than a religion of the heart, which is where the Spirit of Christ has been poured out into us. So really important to remember those things, that this is available to you if you'll yield your will to His. I've often said that the most important thing that you can do to get God's guidance is to yield your will to Him. Brothers and sisters, He's guiding my wife and I every single day. We're so excited. I can't wait for you to hear. Remember this date, 6-5-2021, June 5th. It's 10:18 in the morning here. And when you hear the recordings that you'll hear later in the series of what happened yesterday on the 4th of June, how God gave this incredible guidance to me while I was on the mountain sleeping. And then while I was on the mountain, my wife was sleeping in New Zealand. And for the first time ever, after I finished my prayer time, I decided to listen to the recordings, we call them presents, that she had sent me while I was sleeping the night before. And lo and behold, absolutely incredibly, God had already showed me in advance in my spirit that there was going to be something in her recording that was going to confirm the word He had just spoken to me on the mountain. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. And we're seeing this happen over and over and over again. Even just yesterday, I gave her this scripture that God gave to me. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I shared with her something that I believe God was speaking to us going forward about this scripture. And this was a very obscure scripture, and there's probably nobody else in the whole world that would have come up with a picture of meaning that she did when I told it to her. But she didn't realize that when I told her this verse about Moses, this particular part of this scripture verse jumped out. And I said to her, sweetheart, I believe God is showing me that this is us, the two of us in this. And she said, oh, whoa, 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 you're not going to believe this, Michael. She said, when you spoke the verse to me, she said, that's the exact vision that I had that come to my mind. Well, if I ever read this scripture verse to you, you would never come to that conclusion. But by the Holy Spirit's insight, He keeps confirming for her and I. We find that we have this incredible, thanks be to God Almighty. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit. We have this unity and this incredible synchronicity, a harmony between what God is speaking to me and speaking to her. And we're seeing it like virtually every other couple of days. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. I never had anything like this with P. It's like I've never been married before. It's like I've never had a wife before. I cannot honor my wife enough. You know, the Bible says beauty is fleeting and charm is deceptive, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So you're going to hear me praising my wife because she fears Him and she has faith in Him and she's following Him and she's humble before Him and she's an example. She's going to be an example. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just pause and go through a couple of things here before I get to that. But hey, guess what? Big surprise. This is episode 7. In episode number 8, I'm going to reveal the name of my wife. I have been just holding her behind a veil, and I have not had any desire for anybody to see her, for anybody to know who she is. It's just been this sacred thing that I'm holding tightly, feeling so in a peace with God. And now you'll find out here in just a few moments that God is leading us to do some teamwork in our ministry, that God is actually going to be bringing her into this and inviting her to share her testimony because she is such an example of God's grace in a way that I'm not. And so we have been patiently, very carefully waiting upon the Lord for His guidance in this. Some of you might know who followed the story at I Will Come Forth as Gold, how reluctant I would be to even consider something like this. But nonetheless, I obey the Father, and it became very, very clear. He started sharing the exact same scriptures to both of us to indicate that He wants her to share her side of the story, her testimony as well, which is exceptional. So she'll eventually end up sharing the suffering that she went through, which is remarkable over 11-year period of wilderness journey, and then maybe some of her perspective on how God is doing what he's doing with she and I, and what this has been like for her. Because sometimes when she speaks about it, the Holy Spirit will just give her such utterance. And I say, oh, sweetheart, I'd give anything if I was recording this because it's so powerful. And it'll be such a refreshing drink of water to many other souls who are in the wilderness, who are wondering if God's goodness they'll ever see in the land of the living. And hers is a story of proof of that. It's an incredibly encouraging story. Cannot wait. So we're really waiting on God to give us more timing on that. But I'm going to go ahead and share with you her name. Plus, it'll keep me from having to edit it out. And you should know that I am intensely proud of my wife. I am so unbelievably proud of who she is in Jesus Christ. It is amazing to me. Every single day unveils. We've been spending massive amounts of time together because of her work situation. She has her own business. She's flexible. And so I obviously have been flexible with, I'm just preparing to get everything going. You can see all of my books are gone on the bookshelf, and I've basically have packed up everything in the tiny house that's not totally necessary. And it's all been sent out of here and it's gone. And so I'll tell you more about that later. You'll hear about these things in the recording, but there's some very, very exciting things, incredibly exciting updates about Tyler. I'm going to save them all for you and the series. You need to experience it with me as I experience it. And you get to hear, I'm not going to, you know, steal God's thunder or be a spoiler here, and let you hear and experience it as I did by the Holy Spirit's guidance. So in the next episode, I'm going to reveal my wife's name. I'm still not going to show pictures of her because it's not even about that. You're going to end up getting to hear from another sister of Christ in yours. And eventually, I believe what will happen is we have a photographer who's coming for our wedding. And so we'll have pictures. And of course, I'll share a few pictures from our wedding when that happens. And you'll get to hear the day we're getting married, and the arrangements have already been made, and everything's already in place. So you'll get to hear all about that, how that all happens in the story. Okay. And also, yes, guess what? By the time you see this episode, which is now, if you're watching it, episode number 8 is already up on audio for you to listen to at relentlessheart.com. And then you click the series tab and you scroll all the way down to the bottom left, and you'll see that series called The Grace to Love Again. I want you to know that all of these episodes are already available for you to go listen to, and not have to have so much bandwidth to use a YouTube video. So for those of you who have, you know, like small amounts of internet access, go to the website. You can actually download the messages and listen to them. And as a benefit for you, I will have already included episode 8. Now, don't sneak ahead just to go hear her name. Listen to episode 7. Follow the story in time. Listen to episodes number 8 and 9 are incredible. It's how moment by moment in a 16-hour car ride home, God speaks to me so clearly. It is time for you to move into this, and I want you to do it. You're going to get to hear exactly what I do, and I think I'm pretty confident. I'm even going to include, it'll probably be episode number 10. I don't know how I can fit it, because that day, the 21st of April, I made so many recordings and there was so much action that God was speaking to me about. I want to make sure you hear all of the ways he did this. I mean, this is a huge life-changing deal. God was going to make it crystal clear for me to do this. And then I'm going to let you hear, if not all, perhaps most of the actual recording that I make for my wife to tell her, this is the craziest thing you're ever going to hear. But God has told me that you are to be my wife, and I need you to seek him and see if he'll speak to you and confirm what I'm saying. And you're going to get to hear exactly how I said, what I said to this woman that I don't even know beyond just a few emails that she had sent to me and 1 2.5-hour Skype call. It is really incredible. I mean, you talk about taking a huge risk. You talk about, okay, Lord, if you want me to do this. And I did it. And it's funny because, you know, I told her parents in a recording I made for them, and they've blessed me so much. And I told them in a recording, I said, you know, I know that this just sounded absolutely crazy, and this was really hard for you guys to probably understand as much as it was for me and Lisa. I said, but look, in the end, I've been proven right. I heard from God clearly, as evidenced by how she responded. So this is really, really cool. I think you guys are going to really be blessed to hear all of this. Okay, all of these episodes are available to listen to and download. Yes, I've already explained that my wife has an incredible testimony. Let me tell you something. She is a warrior princess, or a princess warrior. She is a fighter. You know, we've already seen Satan come after us hot and heavy in a few ways. And really, I mean, listen, anything God is going to do, anything that the seed of Christ is in, there's enmity between that seed and his seed. And he does not just sit on the couch. He comes after it. And I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, if you're going to be my wife, if you're going to walk into this with me and be my helpmate, you're going to have to fight. And she said, sweetheart, I will. She said, I'm not going to let anybody or anything stand in between this. And you know something? Some people can talk the talk. This woman can walk the walk. She has proven to me that she is every single thing that comes out of her mouth by the grace of Jesus Christ. She is a fighter. It's incredible. We have seen Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 every single week in our relationship so far, where two have a much better return for their investment. Two walking together, one falls down, the other can lift up. I mean, it is incredible what God has done. I'm absolutely convinced that when God gave birth to her in his mind, and before she was formed in her mother's womb, that God was thinking about me. I absolutely believe it. And I know that you will too, when you get through and you hear just some of the amazing things. I'm going to try to include a bunch of them. Having said that, we're going to keep our personal lives private. So the Lord wants us to tell the story of how he's doing this. You'll see why. It vindicates that God really is doing this. God really has done this. And that this is really a Job 42 experience, that God still is good. There is still Psalm 27, 13 through 14. You know, I would have fainted. I would have despaired had I not thought I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that he still is the great I am, not the great I once was. And so he wants us to tell this story. You'll see God's hand all over it. You'll praise the name of your Father. Just remember, everything you're going to hear in this story, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, he's your Father. He's your God. And he's faithful throughout all generations, the word tells us. He's not just faithful to favorites. He's faithful to all who fear him and obey the words he has taught us. He is a faithful Father. So you're going to get to see all these details. You're going to get to hear how God literally like created her for me and me for her. It is incredible. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. I've never been so happy. I've had to fight oftentimes going, oh, this has to be too good to be true, because, you know, so often it has, and so often in life it is. And God just keeps showing us Matthew 7:11, every time we would have doubts, you know, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask, how much more does the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And so you're going to get to hear all that in the testimony, but we're going to keep a lot of our personal stuff out of it. We really believe that our life and relationship is sacred. God had me expose P because of her apostasy, and she is an example. It's the Matthew 18, you know, tell the person, then tell of two, three witnesses, and after that, tell the whole church if they won't listen. It's how God exposed Israel. You know how many times it says, I will expose your shameful lewdness? You know, it's how many times it says, I will strip you naked before your lovers. I will expose you for before those you prostituted yourself to. So it comes to a point in time, if you resist God and you resist his, you know, discipline and you resist his rebuke, that the time will come where God will let you and turn you over to that reprobate mind. And then he'll use you as an example and expose your shamefulness. You know, the scriptures are kind of replete with this for those who kind of were concerned about, oh, I can't believe you would do this. Well, I didn't do it. And God had me do it. I didn't choose P, God chose her for me. I didn't get P, God got me into P with all that faith and all that incredible story. And you can see how God, it's a sanctified affliction. He has taught me so many things and helped me to understand. I don't want to get ahead of myself because there's a lot of revelation that God has given me in this series. Looking back, it's like when Jesus said to the disciples, when he's washing their feet, he says, look, you do not yet understand what I'm doing. But eventually you're going to understand. You will know. And it's like God could have said that to me so many times when I'm going through it. Michael, look, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will soon. Just keep going, keep trusting. And that's that Isaiah 50, 10 and 11, that you have to walk in the dark, trusting in and relying upon the name of God without having any insight sometimes. I want to share something else with you that God had led me to not too long ago, where Satan was fighting at us in a couple of different ways. And he led me to Acts 5, 38 and 39. And it's where Gamaliel, the Pharisee of Pharisees, the Jewish teacher who taught Paul, And all the teachers of the law are coming after Peter and the disciples for teaching this Jesus Christ business. And they're doing everything they can to try to shut him down, put him in prison, kill him, you know, whatever they can to get rid of him. And Gamaliel says this line to them. He says, first of all, he explains, look, there's been other people that have come along like this, other gurus, and you know, it basically came to nothing. They had a bunch of followers, but then the guy dies and all their followers scattered. So he says this line. He says, therefore, in this present case, meaning them all standing against these followers of Jesus Christ, he says, I advise you. Now think about how this applies to all that Satan has tried to do in my testimony. All the people that have for years have come calling me all these names, all this kind of baloney nonsense that makes me have to take comments off of the videos now in this series. None of these people have been able to stop me. 12 years, nobody's been able to stop me. Satan hasn't been able to stop me. All of the devils in hell have not been able to stop me. Can you say, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world? Can you see why it says, come and see all that the Lord God has done for me? Can you see that? Can you see why? 10 million views, 90,000 subscribers, all to see how the Lord God Almighty has had mercy on me? Because he continually has mercy on me. And no matter what Satan brings, he has never allowed him to stop me. Now listen to this verse, okay? Watch this. I advise you in this present situation to leave these men alone. Let them go, exclamation mark. For if their purposes or activity is of human origin, if I'm doing this on my own, if this is all just flesh, if this is all just delusion, my whole ministry, it will come to nothing. He says, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Brothers and sisters, every single person who's ever come against you and a true testimony of the work of the Holy Spirit in your word, in your world, in your life, in your heart, every single person who's ever come against this testimony, everybody who's ever come against the Relentless Heart Ministry, they're not coming against me. They're coming against God. What's the evidence? I keep going. God keeps providing. God keeps doing miracles. Wait until you hear the testimony you're going to hear over the next multitude of episodes of what God has done. It is incredible. You're going to be so blessed. And you'll see that there's no devil that can stop this. There's nothing that can prevent me from marrying this woman. There's nobody in the whole world, no devil, nothing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against us shall prevail. God is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you against the evil one. You are shielded by faith. We have overcome. 1 John says we have overcome the enemy by faith. We overcome by faith. And here it is. I stand today after all that I've been through, after all the destruction and all the death. Brothers and sisters, anything or anybody or any spirit that has fought against this has only found themselves fighting against God. You remember that. Anybody that's fighting against you and the testimony of Christ in your life is fighting against God. Just by faith stand in the day of evil. Take up the shield of faith. My wife and I, we have to still do it. If you don't think that Satan has tried to come at us and create doubts and tried to hit us when we're sleeping, hit us when we're tired. Oh man, we see his same old filthy tactics, terrible dreams. Absolutely, we see it. Hitting on the insecurities, we've been through it all. God is just every single time he gives us grace, we stand right back up. So this isn't just some sort of a easy peasy romance like you see on a movie or something where it's just everything works out hunky-dory. No. We work out hunky-dory. Everything is incredible between us, but we have an antagonistic force against us. And we continually see that Satan keeps finding himself fighting only against God. Okay, I went longer in this than I wanted to. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, by the time you're watching this, episode 8 is available already at relentlessheart.com. Click the series tab, scroll down, and you will see The Grace to Love Again, and you can download and listen to all those episodes. May God bless you as you listen. I love all of you in Jesus' name, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Bye. Okay, so right now it's 9:15 on April 19th in the morning. We're standing here in their tiny house. I just want to capture what happened last night. So yesterday was April 18th, 2021. while on our way to Austin, well before we got into town, I mentioned Hebrews 11:8 about Abraham moving on without knowing where he was going. And that was kind of part of our conversation because God had used that in such a significant way with you guys. Right. And I specifically mentioned it, you know. Right. And then we get to downtown Austin right before we went to eat, I think, and a car pulls in front of us with 14:14. And at the exact same time, both of you guys start quoting. We'll I said, that's the Exodus 14:14 scripture. Right. And you guys both start quoting about that scripture because that's the exact scripture God used to tell you guys to move on from from West Virginia, right?
Right, right.
Then.
And to get married.
Right, to move on.
All the big things in our life.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the scripture, right, okay. Yeah. And then so we were here last night and before we went to bed, I said, okay, let's pray. And I led in the prayer and it, I think the prayer lasted maybe a minute. I may have gotten a minute into it and I suddenly said, maybe 2 minutes, I don't know. And I suddenly said to you guys, oh, guys, I'm sorry, I can't pray this.
Yeah.
I cannot. The spirit is in disagreement. I'm being rebuked in my spirit. That and the reason is because I started to, again, just in humility. It was just a prayer of humility. God, don't let us be deceived. Please give us guidance. And as soon as I started speaking that, it's like the spirit shuts me down and says, go on your way.
Wow.
You've already got enough of this. Go on your way. I tell you that. And my body heats up. Because I know I'm against the spirit in this. He's telling me to, you know, so psychologically I'm at odds with the spirit. So that happens, meaning I've gotten enough confirmation. Then I get in the bed and I begin to study on this Numbers 9:21, you know, the whole 9:21 we keep seeing here and through 23. And I'm reading some commentary on it and it's talking about the critical importance of obeying to stay and then to move out exactly when he tells to. So that if the cloud is only there for a day, the next morning you get up and you move out. You move on.
Yeah.
You pull the plugs, at, the pegs, and you go. And then I decide, after studying that, I decide, okay, I'll read Streams in the Desert because I forgot about it while I'm here. So the day that I come here is April 16th. So the last time I read was April 15th. So I open up Streams in the Desert, and to my amazement, the first scripture is actually, was it this one? It's here. April 16th morning, tell the Israelites to move on. Exodus 14, 15. So that's the very day that I drive here.
Right. Yeah.
That's the day that I make the recording that's basically
being released,
showing me the 512. I'm being released. Like, guys, I'm going to really need your input on this. And so here it is. I'm finding this out after the fact. And then I wrote this to you and I said, look at this, man. The day I drove here, and you texted me, you said, wow. And you said, that was our mileage pulling into the driveway tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You never told me that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I wrote serious and I said, remember, we saw the 14:14 and we talked about it. You know, we saw the 14:14 there. So then I keep reading, and the April 16th evening is the other scripture that we mentioned, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And so this is, this to me was like just amazing. Like, okay, it's very, very crystal clear.
Right.
This is a move on thing.
And then this morning, you know, after remembering that you sent those last night and going to bed thinking about the Exodus 14:15, this morning I woke up and read, laying in bed, I'm reading Streams in a Desert.
Yes, today's.
Yeah, right, today's
evening. For the 19th.
You're right, I only get the evening version in my email, so that's the 19th. And it has Exodus 14:15.
Yes, which was a triple confirmation
basically
of that.
Saying,
move on.
Like, stand firm. And God's telling, and God's going to be telling you soon to move on.
Yeah, and then when he does, immediately move out in confidence.
Right, exactly.
When you have the confidence. So
this
just becomes really obvious. And so it's settled. And then, of course, the rest of the morning we ended talking about the mystery of God and how there's this new sense in my heart of peace to just embrace the mystery of it all and recognizing that not everything God does is reconcilable or traceable. And that's where we left it, that there's just this peace to say it doesn't make sense. When you pray for the only person in the world who speaks Spanish and Colorado to help you in your mission field, and you spend two months doing work, and then you hear a gunshot and you find out he's murdered, that doesn't make sense. You can't reconcile that.
Right.
Or when you're Stephen Curtis Chapman and you adopt this little Asian girl, and then your wife runs her over in the car in your own driveway. These things are not reconcilable to what we believe about the Christian life, that if you just obey enough, if you're just faithful enough,
yeah,
things work out. No, they don't.
Yeah.
So, okay, great.
Yep.
That's it. Absolutely new. 7:15, April 20th, 2021. I just pick up my phone. I haven't touched it all morning.
Yeah.
Jared and I are sitting here having a conversation.
Yeah.
And when you said 6:33, about 10 minutes later, I wondered, I wonder what time it is. And the next number I thought of was, we will see a 7:15. Mm. And there it is. I just picked my phone up and there's 7:15.
Yeah. It's like a perfect timing too, with all the flaming arrows. It's
yes.
It comes.
I grabbed the coffee cup this morning and I said, my God, Jared, look at this. The top words are on it. Yeah. Take up the shield of faith. And right. I had just told you about all the, you know, the arrows that you get in the morning time. Like, right. Isn't it unbelievable how you can wake up in the morning like you're a different person, and like all the faith you had yesterday just went down the drain.
You gotta like
build. You have to have new manna every day.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the thing that I was going to grab the recorder to tell you is we're talking about the timing of me being here and this time of this unbelievable transition that both of us are going through that neither one of us knew about. I mean, I only had a hint of what you were thinking about. And then look at this. I wasn't supposed to come this weekend, brother. I was supposed to come like 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
The original plan that you told me before we hung up the phone that day was, brother, like this weekend. In fact, it was supposed to be like, I don't remember what day it was, but didn't you have, tell me your name,
right,
on the 11th, I think somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
Was it just the weekend before I was here?
Yeah, it was.
So we had talked about even the weekend before.
Yeah, anyways, we talked about a couple and we said, well, those aren't going to work out. Let's shoot for this one.
Right. And so as it turns out, that was not the right weekend for me to come because I wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have had any of this that we've had. Mm-hmm. God's timing is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he gave us additional direction and clarity just recently as well. That we were able to share with you.
How incredible. I pick up my phone at 7:15 and I knew I would see one this morning. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. This is remarkable. So it's now 7:19. Brother, look at the...
7:19, 9:21.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy. I finished that last recording. It's 2 minutes and 14 seconds. And I said to you, I got to look up 2:14.
Right.
And the first one... Exodus 21:4. If his master gives him a wife, who gave me purses? My master.
Mm-hmm.
And she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free.
Wow.
And we had just seen the 7:15. 7:21 is about if you can get your freedom, get it.
Right.
And your little stove thing right there, it's got 2:14 on it. It's been staring at me in the face for days. And again, yesterday we're driving around and I see these 2:14s and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to look it up and see. And I just now look it up and see. That is unbelievable. Only the man shall go free. The first scripture. Well. And you know what? What time did it just change as I'm getting ready to hit stop?
7:21.
As I'm getting ready to hit stop, it is right now 7:21. I mean, to me, this is like move forward. Yes. I mean, it's like absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to do this message today. Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's Brother Michael. Today is April 20th, 2021. And I'm sitting next to a beautiful river somewhere outside of Austin, Texas. Actually, in the backyard of my dearest brother and sister, Jared and Kristen Tabai, who you've heard me mention so much about over the years. God had a wonderful trip planned for me to come and spend some time with them. And today is the day before I leave to go back to Huntsville, Alabama. And we've had an extraordinary trip. And if they were sitting here right now with me, they would concur. This has been a trip unlike any other and a visit unlike any we've ever had. God has done something extraordinary, and I'm sitting in front of this camera right now in a moment of obedience that after I tell you about this, it's not going to make any sense to you whatsoever. And yet I'm compelled to share with you this part of my story, the next phase of what has happened and how God is leading me and guiding me and directing me. So what I'm going to tell you in this message is going to be very, very confusing, very mysterious, very difficult for a lot of you to believe. And a lot of you are going to have very different thoughts about it. Some will say, oh, you were right. And some will say, I never could have imagined this coming. But I want you to know that God has called me 3 days before the next date that I had really hoped and prayed and believed my wife, Persis, would come back from the dead and come back to Jesus Christ and come back to me. God has asked me to cut her loose. It is absolutely shocking. And I want you to know that I'm only going to tell you just small little bits and pieces of it here. And I'm not going to try to explain this to you. I'm not going to try to give you a bunch of scripture verses to explain it. And there's a reason why. And just hang in there and I'll explain this in a minute. But at the end of this message, I'm going to send you to a place where you'll be able to hear an audio recording that was done with myself, Jared, and Kristen just yesterday that will explain in full detail the providence of God in this. You'll get to hear for yourself and go on the exact journey we did of how God brought me to this shocking, unthinkable, very humbling, very mysterious result. So I think the first thing that I want to help you see, and I'm going to do a few messages, I think, God willing, about this. I don't feel inclined to do this today. Here's what I want you to know is that God has asked me to let Persis go. I'm sitting here today, the other side of 4 years of waiting. And it's been over 1 year since God allowed nothing short of demonic spirits to come into the heart of my wife and into our marriage and drive us apart. She did not actually leave the house until April 23rd of 2020, which is 3 days from today, 1 year ago. But if you listen to the I Will Come Forth as Gold series, you will hear that it was days earlier, perhaps upwards of a week earlier, where there's this clear black and white difference between the old Persis and, unfortunately, this thing that happened. And there's a splitting apart. There's a separating, like what Abimelech did with, or rather what God did between Abimelech and the sons of Shechem. He sent an evil spirit to drive them apart. And you've heard me mention this in the recording. But I'm sitting here right now to tell you that once again, in this story, I have effectively been wrong. Because the entire series of I Will Come Forth as Gold, the entire story, Full Circle Faith, has been about that my wife is coming back. I have a promise she's coming back. And if she doesn't, everything I've ever said comes to nothing. Well, as it turns out, that's not true according to the Lord. But no doubt, what I want you to understand is that God has not answered my prayer. And I say this before you, knowing what that implies, that the Holy Spirit inside of me hears what I'm saying. God has not answered the specific prayer I was led to believe that my wife indeed would come back from the dead. It has not happened. And I want you to know that Jared and Chris and I have spent days now talking about the implications of this, and I have had such a joy in my heart and an ability to do this and say this and have this totally mysterious experience that they too have concluded is only possible with God. I have literally had a joy. I actually want you to understand that even though I am now wrong, which brings everything into question that I thought I heard about this, but I'm going to explain to you something, some insights that I have to help you understand that there is a precedent for doing this. And I'm going to share with you a story in somebody else's life, a very famous Christian that seems to be spot on parallel, albeit the circumstances are different, to what I'm going through right now. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, this has become about God freeing me. I have been in bondage to my marriage and to my love for Persis and to my hope for her. Jared and Kristen said it right when they said, Michael, the Persis you're waiting for died 4 years ago. You've been waiting for the old Persis to come back. So my wife has really been gone now for 4 years. It was over 3 years ago when we no longer shared the same bed. She moved out of our bedroom. So you can see there's a separating that happened. I may have mentioned this in one of the recordings, I'm not sure. But it was over 3 years ago, back in 2018, as far back as I can remember, where she decided she was no longer going to split. And essentially, it was God getting her out of my bed. She was no longer unequally yoked. I mean, she's no longer spiritually yoked with me. So this is something that's been happening for years. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know I have had to keep this faith. Everything I'm telling you, this very moment right now, divine of God, Jared and Kristen, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. I don't want to get into all the details, but God has confirmed so many different ways in front of their very eyes that I'm supposed to be doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, telling you this right now, and that I am supposed to be free right now, and that I am supposed to have believed and have kept the faith as fervently and passionately as I did all the way up until just last week. This just happened last week where the circumstances began to happen that I began to conclude and I began to see a door opening that I would have never seen before, would have never expected, and I would have always resisted. Let the recordings show. I have resisted anybody's advice to get out of this. I have resisted any temptations of Satan. I have resisted any temptations of the flesh to free myself from this pain, to give myself pain relief. And I have spoke openly about the bondage that I have been in, a prisoner of hope, Zechariah 9:12. Brothers and sisters, all of the promises that God had given me that related to my believing Persis was going to come back to me have now failed. They failed. God hasn't failed. God is faithful. And I know this is going to create a conundrum of thoughts for some of you. But I'm going to share another story with you, and ultimately I want to be able to teach you some of these principles that God is showing me. Brothers and sisters, let me just make it as plain and simple as I can. Until this moment in time, almost without exception, every single thing that God has spoken to me about through prayer, through prophetic utterances, through His sovereign hand of guiding me, has always resulted exactly as I expected, often better. I mean, think about anything you can think of, from the 777-day divorce to walking with God into the impossible to step into the marriage with Persis. It all worked out miraculously, exactly as God did, to going to court on Tyler's behalf, to building the tiny house with having no resources, nowhere to put it, nowhere to go. And God has worked result after result, answered prayer after answered prayer, not just me testifying to it, not just Jared and Kristen up there testifying to it, but tens of thousands of people who've followed along in some close fashion have been able to see and hear over all these years that when God tells Michael something, it's going to come to pass. Brothers and sisters, I'm now in a new season of my walk with God. I'm now in a new experience of my faith with Him. I'm now stepping into something that is only explainable as total mystery. It makes no sense to me whatsoever why God would spend so much effort and so much time to lead me to believe that Persis would come back. And some right now are saying, but Michael, you have to understand that God leaves room for free will. I get that. Brothers and sisters, if I wanted to make that argument, it would be the easiest way for me to resolve this thing for you and say to you, hey guys, listen, as it turns out, you know, God respects our free will. And He gave her a chance and she's unwilling to repent. You know, even Jesus said, I have given her time to repent, but she was unwilling. And so now I'm going to cast her on a bed of suffering. So we see a principle that God does give time for repentance. And we could say, oh, well, that's how this resolves. That's how this makes sense, is that, you know, Michael, God was going to have you keep the faith until He saw that she was not going to come. Brothers and sisters, I do not believe that at all. I believe God absolutely knew in advance what Persis would do and what Persis would not do, and He has the ability to tell me. Just like He's been able to tell me in advance outcomes of court cases outcomes of tiny house building, outcomes of this, outcomes of ministry. He's been able to tell me things in advance, and we can say, well, that builder had free will. Well, that judge had free will. No, God knew the free will choice of that judge, of that builder, of that this, of that whatever, way before they did. So we can't say that. What I'm telling you is, for the first time in my life, in the biggest way, and not in my life, but for the first biggest time in my mature, sovereign, obedient, faithful walking with God, I'm standing in a place that is absolute mystery. There is no explanation for this. Part of this video is for me to tell you that the days of me being able to trace out all the steps and explain everything that God does, they are over. Be clear, my faith in God is as strong as it's ever been. Brothers and sisters, they will tell you, Jared and Kristen will tell you, there is no way Michael could be faking this joy. This is extraordinary. I have a fullness in Christ like I've never had. I feel a sense of freedom like I never have. I feel I have just gotten out of jail. God is breaking me free from bondage. He's allowing me out, exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians 7:15. No longer bound. If the unbelieving spouse leaves, let them leave. You're no longer bound. But watch, God kept me bound for 4 long years to an apostate bride. 4 long years. It's now been over 4 years. And I want you to hear some of the ways God guided us in this recording that you're going to hear. Please, those of you, unless you're just wanting to troll this thing and just kick a bunch of dirt because you're a dead Pharisee in your heart, well, then save your time. But those of you who really want to know, because you yourself have experienced things in your life where you felt absolutely sure God told you this and that it ends in disaster. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth as the holy God is our Father and witness. This indeed is one of the ways God works. If you think of watching the movie Full Circle Faith, where I talk about women who pray for years to get pregnant and they finally do, and then the baby dies, how do you reconcile that? Or they're born with a terrible defect. How do you reconcile that to a good, loving God who prophetically told you, who heard your prayers, who said, believe and have faith and I'll answer your prayer. Wait, trust in me, don't trust in man. And you did, and then it came, and then it ends in total disaster where it's a mess. How do you reconcile that? You cannot reconcile that. So brothers and sisters, my whole life, I have desired to make meaning, my Christian life, to desire to make meaning. And listen, it's very clear in my ministry that God has given me an abundance of interpretation of the dealings that he's had with me in my life. He's given me wonderful connection to scriptures and principles and other people that said or did similar things and to help me have light and understanding. Now I'm in a new season. Now I'm in that season where many other believers have been, that I'm in deep right now in my experience, how God can lead you to believe something so that you're so convinced you have the faith of God to put it out publicly that God is going to do this. You are absolutely certain he's going to, and that if he doesn't, it all comes to naught and you're an idiot. I mean, I said I'm a deceived devil or the biggest deceived fool. And brothers and sisters, perhaps for my humility, I'm going to sit here and tell you, no, I'm not. God has chosen to do something different. And I have a faith right now that is still loving my Father, that is still rejoicing in him, that is still saying, you know what, God, I just trust you. I can't make sense out of this, but I love you so much. I trust you, and I'm not letting go of him in this. I'm letting go of Persis. I've let go of Persis a long time ago, but I'm letting go of the hope that she will come back. The Persis that I loved and married left 4 years ago. And I've been holding on to the hope for 4 years that that wife would come back, and she's not going to. And brothers and sisters, I'm intentionally doing this recording today because God has told me to obey him to do it. It's not a coincidence that it happens and the circumstances only worked out for me to do this today. 3 days before the final date that I believed, okay, if all the other dates failed, she's coming back on 1 year to the date. I'm going to tell you now a reverse prophecy. No, she's not. And this will be another way that we can know that I've heard correctly from God. She is not coming back in 3 days. She's not coming back in 3 weeks, 3 months, or 3 years. She's not coming back. God has told me I am free to free myself. And again, I'm not going to explain to you in this recording how he did. You know it's going to have to be extraordinary. And brothers and sisters, extraordinary. Jared and Kristen and I, our mouths are on the floor. We're like, are you kidding me? Are you what? Over and over and over, God has confirmed this. Now I've had to take the huge step of stepping into faith to go, okay, Lord, this is what you have for me. And I'm going to, when I hear you, when I know, and you've heard the recordings, you'll hear. And if you go back and you listen to I Will Come Forth as Gold, shockingly on my trip here, I started listening to it from the beginning. And you hear me say right in the beginning of the recordings, I don't know, maybe the second, third or fourth recording, I say, you know, the truth is God never gave me back a promise that she would be my wife again. He just gave me a promise that he would destroy the wisdom of the wise and that she would be, you know, if you will, resurrected, or some, there would be some resurrection. Well, as it turns out, if you listen to the tail end of the I Will Come Forth series, I start saying, you know, it seems to me like this has become much more about my death and resurrection than it has Persis's. Jared and Kristen will tell you, I stand in resurrection life. I have a newness, a fullness of life. I have an ability to let go of that which I loved and fought for and believed for so much. And I have the peace to just say, God, I trust you. It's over. It's okay. And it's like instantly. And they likened it just as I did to what happened with David. I've gotten up, I've dusted myself off, and I said, okay, Lord, what's next? Let's do this. Whatever you say goes. And it's exactly like what happened when David is in fasting and he's mourning for his son, Bathsheba, the child that they have together. And he's fasting and mourning. And the prophet Nathan said, God's going to take your son. And he's sick and he's praying and praying and praying. And, you know, then he dies. And his court servants come to him and they're like, oh my gosh. I mean, if we tell him that the baby died, he's going to kill himself. If he looks like this now, what is he going to do when he finds out that the baby died? They tell him the baby dies and he instantly gets up, washes his face, takes a bath, starts to eat and has a meal. And they're like, what are you doing? You were just fasting and mourning and prayer. And now we tell you he's dead and you're all of a sudden going to go back to normal life. And basically David says, what can I do about it now? While the baby was sick, there was still hope that the baby would come back, that God would hear my prayers and have mercy. But now I can't do anything. He says, I will go to him, but he can no longer come to me. Could it be that one day God saves Persis and I get to heaven and find out that she's there and I'm just so rejoicing because I care more about her eternal soul than I do her being my wife? Absolutely, it could happen. But it's not going to happen inside of our marriage like I thought. God has freed me. Brothers and sisters, it's eerily prophetic. And the Apostate Bride of Christ series, I believe that's the series. And I hope the wind's not too bad on the microphone. We're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. But it's eerily prophetic. When all those, you know, years ago, I'm listening to Suffering is Never for No Reason by Elizabeth Elliot. And she goes through this wonderful marriage, amazing courtship, all these miracles, an incredible love story between her and Jim Elliot. And her husband, four other guys, you know the story, they land the plane down there in the forest of Ecuador. They go to the Wadawi Indians, I believe they're called Wadawi Indians. And they don't even get to utter the words Jesus Christ before they are speared to death. How can you explain all the things that God did to put them together, to put them in the jungle, to put, you know, they gave up everything they had for this mission field. They get out there and it comes to naught. How is that explainable? You can't explain that. And then she remarries several years later, just like I did. 3 years into the marriage, the guy gets diagnosed with cancer. 6 months later, he's dead. And she's begging God. She's like, no, God, please don't tell me we're going through this again. And it's like, when I read that story, brothers and sisters, there was a terrifying knowing and a very strong denial that I believed God was telling me this was going to happen to me. You can go back and listen to the recordings where I'm having to just believe and work up faith. No, God, this is not going to happen. And it's like there's been a knowing. It's exactly like when I saw the documentary Mugambi and the White African. And when I see that this guy is praying for justice, he's being so taken advantage of in court. He's praying for justice, fighting hell to get court justice. He gets it in the court. He never gets it in life. And it turns out to be a prophetic foreshadowing of exactly what would happen in the divorce of my first wife. Here I stand today, brothers and sisters, a spiritual widow twice. For those of you who understand the new covenant and you've taken the time to read about spiritual death, you understand it's far more important than physical death. The widow who lives for pleasure, the Bible says, is dead even while she lives. Jesus Christ said, whoever believes in him has crossed over from death to life. When you look around, all it is dead people. You say, no, they're not. They're alive, breathing, 98.6. No, God says they're dead. God says you are dead until you came into Christ and Christ came into you. And all throughout the scripture, if you ever study it, spiritual death is the far greater precedent. So I am now spiritually widowed twice, directly because of my obedience to Jesus Christ and my love for him. Hence the reason why God had shown me the day is going to come when I will no longer fear the reproach. He'll take away the reproach of my widowhood. I'm a spiritual widow. I have lost two wives because of my love for Jesus Christ. No other reason. Because of my love for Jesus Christ. It's shocking. God is doing this for a reason. There's been a reason. And I thank God I took great credit. Brothers and sisters, I am going to be married again. I know that I'm going to be married again. I rejected the idea. I said, I'll never marry again. I'm never going to go through this. No, I'm going to do it. I'm as free right now as I have ever done. And God has already shown me it is his will. And it's going to be exactly like Elizabeth Elliot. She's married three times. Brothers and sisters, incidentally, some of these Puritans you hear me quote, most of them were married two and three times. John Flavel, four wives before he's 67 years old. How can you explain George Mueller and the incredible divine providence of him putting together with his first wife? And then she dies and he has to marry again. How do you describe the amazing providence of God putting Hudson Taylor together with his first wife and it comes into death? How do you explain them losing all the children they lost and they've had to marry multiple times? How do you explain these things? They're unexplainable. They don't leave any room to explain. In fact, I want to share with you a story right out of Suffering is Never for No Reason. And then I'm going to get close to wrapping this message up and explain to you what the Lord is being shown me on this. She grew up, Elizabeth Elliot grew up in a missionary family where they had heard stories of thousands of missionaries and it's all she ever knew. And she went to college to be a missionary. She married a missionary she was going to and all this stuff. So she had all this missionary experience and pedigree. She talks about God was going to send three blows to really shake her up, challenge her faith, and humble her. The first of these blows came, and ask yourself, how do you make sense out of this story? The first of these blows came as I was attempting to learn an unwritten Indian language. Father, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, help with the wind. Please, God, I ask you to help. I was attempting to learn an unwritten Indian language in the western jungle of Ecuador, the language of the Colorado tribe. They were a very small tribe who had never had any written language and therefore had none of the Bible in their language. I had prayed that God would give me an informant, someone who would be prepared to sit down with me and go over and over and over what for him was the easiest language in the world. I knew this informant would need to have the patience to deal with this apparently ignorant foreigner, meaning her. And God answered my prayer by sending me this man by the name of Macadeo, who was bilingual, which was an enormous advantage. He spoke Spanish and Colorado, the language of these Indians that God has called her to reach. This was significant as I had already learned Spanish as the national language of the country. We worked together very happily for about 2 months. So this is all the divine providence of God coming together in a very unique way, answered to her prayers. Then I was on my knees one morning in my bedroom, as was my habit, reading my Bible and praying. And I happened to be reading in the third chapter of the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. And these were the words: "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." 1 Peter 4:12. And at that very point, I heard gunshots. There was nothing unusual about gunshots in that particular clearing of the jungle. We were surrounded by Indians who hunted with guns that they had bought from the white man. And there were white people also in the clearing who hunted as well. So we often heard gunshots, but these particular gunshots were followed by yelling and screaming and horses galloping and people running in general pandemonium. So I rushed outside to hear that Macadeo had just been murdered. Now, it would be very nice if I could tell you that I easily found another informant, but the truth was that Macadeo was literally the only person in the world who was capable of doing the job as he had been doing with me. Nobody else knew both Spanish and Colorado. So I was faced for the first time in my personal experience with that awful why. Like Job, I didn't doubt for a second that God was up there and that God knew what he was doing, but I couldn't imagine what he could possibly have in mind. And God's answer to my why was, trust me. No explanations, just trust me. That was the message. Now, if I had had a faith that was determined God had to give me a particular kind of answer to my particular prayers, that faith would have disintegrated. Brothers and sisters, right now, your brother Michael has completely detached myself from that type of faith. I no longer have that kind of faith. And actually, I haven't had that kind of faith for a long time. I've been able to tolerate the unexplainable. I mean, it started with me. How do you explain the Lord's gym? God did all these miracles to give me this money to open this gym. And then it totally ends in disaster. And it ends 9 months later to the day. That makes no sense. God, why would you do all this to get me into this and then to deliver me in death on the other side of it? Brothers and sisters, I could talk for hours on this subject. I want you to know that God has brought me into a fresh understanding, which I'm going to share in some future messages with you, about this greater faith that trusts God even when you've been led to believe and even when you've seen the providence of God to bring you into something that you know that you know that you know God did, and then it all still comes to death. Or that you had a promise that you waited for years for something to happen and it never did. Brothers and sisters, there's stories like this all over the world. And now it is the climax of my experience. I thought for sure the climax was she comes back. And as it turns out, no, it goes into death. And God says, get up, move away from here. Have your freedom. Let her go. And that is so mysterious. God, why did you lead me to believe this? I put it out there. I said it publicly. I mean, I was so believing you, God. Brothers and sisters, there is so much meaning in this. There has been so much character development. This whole experience, if I can just leave you with this, the most important experience I've ever had is this experience of going into death and then everything coming into life. Like right now, I'm so free of your opinion. My only concern is for those of you who would stumble as a result of this. I could care less about those of you who will judge me. I know, come with your rocks and stones, come what may. The window has closed on my heart. I'm doing this video today of my own free will. I'm sitting here telling you God did not answer my prayers. I'm wrong. You can call me a false prophet. Well, you're going to have to call Elizabeth Elliot a false prophet. You're going to have to call Stephen Curtis Chapman a false prophet. You know what they did? They prayed and prayed and prayed, and him and his wife got led into an incredible adoption that only God can do. And then his wife runs her over with the car backing out of the driveway. How do you explain that? Couldn't God have got the child out of the way? Couldn't God have caused her to say, oh, I forgot and left my curling iron on? She runs over the baby that God opened the door to, did miracle after miracle, answered prayer after answer prayer, answered the desires of their heart, and she runs over and kills the own daughter. There are things like this all over the world, brothers and sisters, that do not make any sense. And I have to tell you, one of my greatest weaknesses is asking the Father to help me to make sense out of all these things. And God has given me so much that I've become spoiled. You know something? God's not given me meaning to this. Oh, I can throw all kinds of scriptures at it. And you could throw all kinds of scriptures at it. But I'm telling you, I have enough insight, enough experience, enough providence of God in this that I could contradict what you think is a great reason. Oh, I could give you all kinds of scriptures that will show you this is something that God has done and he does things like this. No. This is bizarre. This makes no sense. This leaves you feeling like you have been totally abandoned, rejected by God. It is intended to do so. It is a higher level of faith. It is a kind of faith that shows that man can stand in the face of death, in the face of failure. It is the ultimate answer to Satan that this guy is not a mercenary Christian. He is not loving you simply because you do everything for him, because you answer every prayer. Strike that wife. Send him into the ditch of foolishness on this. Don't answer his prayers. Say that all of this was foolishness, and I guarantee he will curse your name. Brothers and sisters, I sit here today with more faith and more hope with God and more freedom. My heart is free, more so than it's ever been. God has given me freedom. And the whole experience of walking through, and it started happening. It like went into accelerated mode on this 14-hour trip from Huntsville, Alabama to here. God, help me with the wind. Father, help me with this wind in Jesus' name. Please, Abba. Please, Lord. I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help me. Let the wind come down, Father. Please, I need your help. I want to finish this message. Please help me to finish this message, Lord, and let it not just be that this person is disturbed by all this wind and stuff like that. Please, Father, help it. Help me in the name of Christ. Help me. Help me, God. Please, please, bring it calm. Bring it calm in Jesus' name, Lord. Please, Father, have mercy. Have mercy. Brothers and sisters, these things don't make sense. And you have to decide, do you still go on with God? Do you still trust him? Or does, like I said, everything's going to come into nothing? You know something that was quite presumptuous of me? But God does not punish me for this, and I'm going to tell you why. I kept the faith to the very moment. You can hear recording after recording saying, I don't even need Persis anymore. If I never see her again, you'll hear it at the end, and you hear it at the beginning. Even at the end of these recordings, I will come forth as gold. You say, I don't even need her anymore. I'm just going to believe because God was freeing me in my heart, liberating me. And if I know that Persis is heels in the sand and not coming to Christ, I've said, I do not in any way want my wife back at all. I wanted the wife back that I originally had, not the wife who left and not some mediocre version. No, not at all. And you know something? The Lord has already, at the exact same time, whether you like this or not, the Lord has already shown me that I'm going to be married again. He already has somebody for me. And I think to myself, what an incredible blessing. God is going to richly bless me and liberate me. He already has somebody out there. And I don't have to be afraid of it. And I can walk into what God has. It's like Nabal. He lost his wife to Abigail. 10 days later after he dies, she marries David. That quick. That guy's heart was hard. It was wicked. It was done. And she was immediately freed from the bondage. And then David said, hey, send for her. I want to marry her. So God didn't punish her, you know, so forth and so on. And anyhow, the point is this, that I'm free. I've been liberated. And I'm now standing in this most incredible place of the mystery of God going, wow, God, I should be depressed. I should be totally just defunct. As Jared and Kristen said, they're like, there's no way if God wasn't doing this that you could be feeling this way and be willing to now let go of her. When God said let go, I was able to let go like that. Now, I did have to struggle with some doubts and flaming arrows and, you know, some fears and all that. Oh, what if I had to struggle with that just like anything else. It's been an act of faith. But brothers and sisters, I don't want to say much more. I want to lead you now to hear exactly how God dealt with me to get me to this place. I've tried to include all the providences, the major providences that happen to get me to this place right now where here I am 3 days before the 1 year anniversary of Persis leaving our home, cursing and screaming and all that. And God is saying, let her go. The time is now. And again, I can give you all kinds of scripture verses. And you're going to hear a few in this recording. The recording will be posted, by the way, next in line at I Will Come Forth as Gold. You'll see it. I'll make the title, you know, the providence of God, you know, to leave, or God setting me free, you know, something like that. You'll see it'll be towards the very top. And you can listen and you'll hear Jared and Kristen. It was recorded right in front of them. The Bible says, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. He called me here this weekend. I was supposed to be here 2 weeks ago. He called me here this weekend. And there's so many other shocking things. I don't want to get into their business, but they have some phenomenal thing happening in their life that almost parallels, not in their marriage, but in their life with changing things. And we see that God brought us together for parallel purposes, reasons, encouragement, strengthening, and confirmation. And they have been my witnesses front row to this entire thing. And they know the Lord well enough to look at me and say, Michael, I don't think this is God. On the contrary, God gave them peace. And they both said, brother, I think this is it. I think this is the time. I think God is saying, move on. They agree. And they've been right here with me to see all the providence. So I'm doing it, and I'm not dead, and my words are not dead. The Lord will continue to vindicate me. He will show, and it didn't turn out like I thought. And brothers and sisters, you know from an integrity standpoint, this isn't my job. I mean, it is. I mean, I'm in full-time vocational ministry. but I'm not afraid to lose anything or anyone for doing the will of God in my life. And I'm not afraid to say this. This is not me as one of these charismatics, you know, trying these NAR people. Some guy said, oh, you guys always figure out a way to patch it all together. No, I don't have any way to patch this together. I have no way of explaining this to you, except for I can tell you that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, has guarded my minds and my hearts in Christ Jesus. And you too will be convinced, if you're honest, when you hear this recording and you hear how God laid this out, you'll go, wow, if I was having to follow God and he had been doing this with me for years, I'd have no other way to believe except for God was telling me to leave this. And that's exactly what the Father has done. It's incredible. And so I want you to celebrate for me. Those of you who've seen, don't be sad for me. I'm free. I'm free of purses. I'm free of bondage. I'm free. God has liberated me. He even led us today to Exodus 21:4. I mean, you can't even imagine. The man only shall go free. If his master gives him a wife, it's about a slave getting free. And it specifically says only the man shall go free. And we were like, God, how much more confirmation do we need? So brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for walking with me. And I'm so excited. I want you to know that there are going to be things in your life that are going to make absolutely no sense. And it's time for us to embrace that God is still good, even when we have believed and even when we've seen the providence and even when we've been told over and over again, God is going to do this. This is to hang in there. And then it doesn't happen. And we immediately cause ourselves to say, well, God didn't do this. And so he either isn't, you know, there, or I'm not right with him, or I misheard him, what have you. No, what if indeed God did lead you to believe that for a time, and then the time came when God closes the book on it, that he did lead you into the adoption and then you run him over, that he did lead you to believe in him, that if you will pray, I will give you a child and the child is born, stillborn, that he did answer your prayer to go into that unique Colorado Indian group, and he did send you the only guy in the whole world who could help you, and 2 months into the project, he gets shot. These things are not reconcilable, and I'm going to be humble enough before my God to tell you I cannot make sense out of this. Brothers and sisters, I find so much rest just to let go. Just to let go and say, Father, thank you. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will tell you this, God has never given me anything that he didn't turn around if I was willing to let go of it and give me something better. Brothers and sisters, I am going to be married again. And I believe that my final marriage is going to be like an Elizabeth Elliot marriage, where it's the greatest of all the marriages, and that perhaps, God willing, it outlives me. I believe it. God has not allowed me to suffer this much. He has promised me, he has good things for me. And you might say, well, this didn't happen. You thought this is good. But you know something? Everything else has. And there's something so incredibly delightful and exciting to me to be in this unknown. And like, God, I don't understand it, but how do I have the grace to just go, okay, God, you don't even have to explain this to me. I'm done having God have to explain it to me. I just trust him to the praise of God Almighty. I just trust him. He's so good. He's so good. I just trust him. I'm free from having to have meaning about these things. Now, God has given me meaning to help other people to see his ways, right? But this is one of his ways. That his ways are beyond tracing out. And I honestly haven't been able to say that a lot in my life. He's allowed me to trace out through scripture a lot of his dealings. I can't do this, brothers and sisters. He's not allowing me to trace this one out. He's just saying, do what I tell you, step into it, believe me, and he's given me the grace to do it. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, this encourages some of you who yourself have been absolutely convinced God told you and led you, and it ends in failure, it ends in disaster, it ends in death, it ends in not happening, it ends in disappointment, discouragement, that we can still know there is a grace available to trust God even when nothing makes sense, even when it all comes into death, even when it completely contradicts. I've always believed, okay, if God's going to call me into something, of course the circumstances have to contradict. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, whatever God calls me to step into next, there will be immediately circumstances that contradict that God's going to do this. But by faith, I overcome those circumstances. And you see, over and over in my life, I get to the destination. And this, circumstances in the end, completely contradicted all this hope and talk of resurrection life in Romans 8:38. Well, guess what? I'm the one that's in Romans 8:38. No death has been able to separate me. No unanswered prayers, no afflictions, no disappointments, no discouragements, no perplexities, no mysteries. Resurrection life, I have been resurrected. I'm standing in resurrection. You hear in the recordings, I'm like, gosh, this doesn't make sense. It seems like now the death is becoming more about my death and more about my resurrection than Persis's. But God used it to bring me into death, then to raise me up into this joy. I haven't been the same since. I haven't been the same since. I've had this joy and this hope and these just unbelievable, like untouchable grace in my heart and life. I'm like, I'm a different person after this. Jared and Kristen are like, brother, this is unbelievable how different this is. I mean, they recognize it. They see it. And I just want you to know that God is keeping me. Don't feel mad for me. Don't feel bad for me. And if you need to unsubscribe, unsubscribe. Go where you will. I'm going to wrap this video up now because some people are coming, but I just want you to know I love you and bless you in Jesus' name. And please, when you get a chance, go to the website, relentlessheart.com, and look at those messages. And I think they're going to really, really help you. I think not the messages, but the tail end message I'm talking about will really help you get some insight on how God led us to this. And then as God leads, I'm going to do a few more messages. One other final note I want to let you know that you maybe haven't heard yet is that God a few months ago allowed me to take my life back up again, that I no longer have to speak about the private details of my life again. It's a prayer I've been praying for a long time, and he sent me to John 10:17 about Jesus Christ. He said, you know, the Father loves me because I lay my life down only to take it back up again. And I was praying and praying and praying. I'm like, God, I would love to do this. I would love to take my life back up again. Would you be willing to let me do this? It had been a desire for years, and God answered this prayer in a way that only he could do and told me that I could take my life back up, that I no longer had to share until after I'm dead. So brothers and sisters, this series is the end of Michael Criswell laying his life down. So this thing has changed, this resurrection experience, if you will, has changed my life in so many ways, like so many things are changing. And one of them is that my life is now going to be hidden. I'm going to continue to do as God leads me, Bible studies, reharvesting some of the content. And I don't know what is next. The Lord leads me step by step. But I do want you to know that I am so excited. This is another big change that God has allowed me to take my life back up again. And I hope you've enjoyed it and it's been a blessing to you. I hate it that it kind of ends on such a weird note. But I love you guys and I bless you so much. I thank you so much for all the support you've given me over the years. And I will see you soon on the next video. I'll be posting more videos on YouTube. Don't worry, I'll see you soon on it. But go listen to that next recording at I Will Come Forth as Gold. And listen to this mysterious, amazing thing God has done. And trust him in your life for all the crazy, mysterious things that he does that are totally unexplainable. And just trust God, even when you can't see it. Even when it's all dark, when it makes no sense, you trust God. God is faithful. You're not going to throw away all of his faithfulness in my life simply because of one season of, oh God, this does not make sense. And I'm not going to throw it away. Trust him. He's a good God. I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for your patience to watch this video. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' mighty name.